Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We are here to take your calls and discuss psychic phenomena, spiritual matters, psychological matters, and whatever else comes up. 914-338-0164 is the call number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We have a couple of callers in the queue who don't have their hands raised. So I don't know if they want to speak to us. Please press 1, callers, if you want to speak to us, 630-519. You know who you are. Maybe you're just listening. Both raised hands. Okay, so we have some callers. We do want to also remind our callers and listeners to follow us. Please follow us on our social media, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and we here on Blog Talk Radio, you can follow us as well. We really appreciate that. And it helps our visibility, which we need. So help us out. Okay, so 519 raised her hand first, and we'll take 630. Hi.
Hello. Hello. Do you help with legal matters?
No. We're not attorneys, but we play them on TV. I got your joke. Good one. Neil's in the dark. I'll have to explain to him later, but yes.
My question is this. So I just had a recent birthday, and I know you've explained that I'm like, this is like a year of transition. It's specific to, like, one area of my life, like work, home.
No. I mean, is it specific? The fact that there's a change means that there's a change. Will it be specific? Yes, time will reveal that. I mean, you're wondering if we can – are you wondering if we can see something that's going to change for you?
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm wondering, psychically.
It's okay. I'm trying to because of what I know about you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to separate my brain. So you know what I'm saying? Because I know some things about plans that you have in certain areas, romance, in your housing situation. So I'm going to hand it over to Neil because he doesn't remember anything. And then see if I... 4-3-1970. I mean, he does, believe me, he pretends he doesn't remember anything, but he remembers. But a lot of the stuff he will let go just because it's so much... we have so many people we deal with. There's so much in our brains. And I don't know, for some reason, I collect it and don't get rid of it. And he Neil's better at that. So I want you to go ahead, Neil, and see if you can psych out something for her.
Well, you're 54, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so because you're on your ninth cycle, what this means is that when you look at the birth date, every number occupies so many years. So you go from 4 to 3. And when you get to your 3 in your day, you're about 24 years old. When you turn 25, we're moving along, getting over to the 7. And then that can go indefinitely from 7 to 0, can occupy all the years left to your life. However, you're still working with the impressions of your former numbers. So at 54, you're on number 7 in your birthday because you're born in 70. Now your master number is 6. And 6 and 7 are 13 or 4, which brings us back to your month. So what this means is that in this cycle of being 54 to 60, you're revisiting at 54 a sense of balance that's been collective over your entire life in this lifetime. So you're looking at everything you've done, and now you're saying, well, with all my experience at 54, have I attained or can I maintain a sense of balance? And that would include my spiritual essence, as well as my heart, my emotions, as well as my grounding physical life. So you'd have to look at those components and put them together and say, well, am I balanced or where am I off balanced? And if I'm off balance, then you have to work on it. And so now you're spending time working on the things that you feel you're lacking or you're deficient in. If you feel like you're pretty much balanced, then what you've got to do is go, well, since I'm on the 7 of my birth date and I'm balanced and I feel relatively balanced, I better absorb myself into a deeper sense of spiritual matters because I don't have to really take care of too many physical and emotional things. I mean, I'll do it. I'll do what I need to do because I'm alive as I approach my coming years. I'll still take care of my emotional and my physical life, but I should go more into depth about spirituality because that's in my code. Because following the 7 is a 0. Now you don't want to end life with a 0 in mind, like I don't need to know about spirit. That's not important. Because that 0 will overcome the 7 and you'll be in jeopardy. But if that 0 can only be obsolete if you manage your spirituality, because that's in your code. So, Jennifer, you need your brain, your mind, that 6th chakra, needs to be more absorbed in spiritual matters, and maybe not within the parameters of what you think spirit is, but more in the evolving sense of cosmic spirituality, worldly spirituality, cosmic spirituality, everything from Jesus to Buddha to Siddhartha to Hindu, Vishnu. You're discovering the essence of what it is to be a spiritual entity in a physical body and what all human beings have gathered in their knowledge regarding that topic. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, it may have been, I started to read that autobiography of a yogi, and I ended up losing it. I liked it from as far as I got through it, and I lost it on a plane. So maybe last year wasn't the right time for me to be exploring that, you know, that part of things.
Well, you were 23 then. You were 53 then. So, you know. That's like saying, well, you know, the chick has had, I can hear the chick inside the egg scratching on the shell. Let's crack it open. You were still fulfilling a karma that you've been collecting. Unfortunately, you were still fulfilling it. So your mind wasn't ready for it.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I don't feel like I've got what I could wiggle yet. So I do feel like you said, I need to work on, you know, the threefold self, and I do need to work more on my physical my body.
Well, no, I think you said more spirituality.
Well, if you're feeling, if you need to work more on your physical level, then do it quickly, because you're in the seventh zone right now.
This is, can I add something, please? What I was going to say is what this time should, the time is nigh for you to rid yourself of things that are not going to support your spiritual growth. That's, and if there's anything hindering you in that regard, then get rid of it.
Okay, that makes sense. But in terms of spiritual, like, I do feel like since my 30s, and actually maybe since even my 20s, I've always sort of kept up on the spiritual side of things. So that part of me, I think, if body, mind, and soul, my soul's okay. My mind's, you know, pretty good, but it's the body part that's...
I don't know about the mind. let's be realistic.
I'm a psychiatrist now.
But we don't give psychiatric advice, but we do play psychiatrists on television.
Anyway,
go on.
Okay, thank you. That other caller, but I'll listen in.
But no, it's okay. I mean, we have a little time. So, I mean, the thing is, yes, yeah. I mean, you are obviously interested in spirituality, and specifically, I think, you know, the sixth chakra, I mean, you're a six, your master number is six. And so the third eye, psychic stuff, all that. But spirituality is different than being psychic and being interested in that realm. People tie them together and think it's one and the same, but they're not.
Well, you know,
I go to Gentile synagogue quite often.
Well, no. We're not talking about going to religion. I mean, we're not talking about religion.
Religion is a historical human concept. It's built on the premise of spirituality,
right.
but religion becomes more of a pragmatic sense of how we designate spirituality into more of a concrete form with rules and regulations. Spirituality is not really about rules and regulations. It's about the spirit of the existence of energy. Religion is about the history that stems from the belief in God. But I can tell you, I can advise you, if you want to improve your mind, I would, if I were you, I would look at videos that Michel Marceau did. That should improve your mind a little bit.
What?
Marcel Marceau, the mind.
I'm sort of faded out on that.
Why would she watch videos?
To improve her mind? Did I misunderstand?
Yeah, he's making a joke. Marcel Marceau is a mime, and so you can improve your mind that way. I think my joke was funnier. Okay, well. Anywho. But does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, it does. And I feel now a sense of urgency with the certain things that I haven't balanced out.
Well, you don't have, you know, you've got, you have long cycles, 6 years. So, I mean, yes, there should be some sense of urgency, but also you have time to make these changes.
Well,
you want to make sure you've got everything wrapped up.
I give them, you know, whenever I feel a sense of urgency, I'm very close to the bathroom.
I know. I knew he was going. Okay.
That's the physical explanation.
All righty.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Jennifer. Bye. See you in the chat, maybe.
Bye. All right, I'm coming on now.
Okay.
How do you see someone in the chat?
I see a pop up.
You're
right, but I see her. Hi. Oh. I see her icon pop up. And then I know she's there. Like right now we're alone. No one's there. No one's in the chat.
Oh.
No one's in the
chat.
Do
you have another caller?
Yeah, it's Dion. Hi.
Hi. Okay, so I'm calling because, and I'm not going to say the person's name or anything, but you know like how I listen to your show all the time?
Yeah.
So as much as I can, you know? And
yes.
So I think it was last Friday show, you had a caller on, and she's like a regular caller, the lady. And I remember you and Neil, or Neil and you, I don't remember which one was first, I'd have to go back and listen.
Doesn't matter.
Said that this caller was going to be very lucky or have a very lucky streak coming in. Do you remember who or this doing this
yes.
reading? Because okay,
yes.
So that person, I was listening to another show very randomly. I just listened to this one show the other day. It was on Wednesday, and the caller called in and said that she won $13,000 that day. And that was right after the reading that you and Neil gave her, or Neil and you gave. I don't remember which one first. But anyway, so one of your callers won $13,000 like 4 days after you predicted that or said that was going to happen,
well,
or lent your energy towards it.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, I want to say more. So it was like an energy field that we put out for her because she was saying, I used to win all kinds of stuff. I would get lucky. I'd win a vacation to Hawaii. I'd win the casino. I'd do this and get that. You know, she has some kind of luck in, even though she lives modestly, let's say, and is on disability, she gets lucky sometimes, which is part of her karma, I guess. And she did get lucky. And yes, I would like to attribute that to the energy that we put out for her. Unfortunately, she didn't call. She hasn't called today. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe she will. But it was, I know, because I remember, I think I was before her or after her, because you were saying, like, sometimes I get lucky too or whatever, but...
You do.
I've also been working with you and Neil consistently for probably going on almost a year now, okay?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, my God, I have to call him and tell him, because that's a huge windfall. And I'm very, very, very happy for her, because I know how that feels, like when you have bills and you have to pay them and you don't know how you're going to get your money and then God just gives it to you. But it was, like, so close to the... to your prediction that I just wanted to call and let you know
that. Saying that, you know, I hope she calls us and tells us at least that she won. But, and I said to her when the call closed, I said, let us know what happens. Let us know. Well, I don't know.
But she probably will. I mean, I think she said she had a lot of bills she had to pay off or something, but
yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, Kristen and Neil just said that.
Yeah, there is a sort of secluded portion where psychics can actually, well, if they're lucky enough, they can actually help to influence energy. And it's because they're rooted to that element, to that environment, that realm. And so it's like when you call a company and you're not getting anything done, and then you go to the manager and the manager can do things that the other employees can't do. Well, sometimes a psychic, if they're really good, they have a certain connection with energies that if we are liberal enough to believe that there's some consciousness out there, maybe a psychic can help influence the result. Otherwise, there's nothing out there, and there's no point in even being a psychic because it's just all unconscious energy. It's just, how do you deal with that? It's like telling a machine to tell you a flight story. There's nothing there. But if you tend to believe that there's a consciousness in the universe, and that we are directly linked to that consciousness, then, yeah, it can happen. But, again, purely scientific people will say this is absolutely absurd. Who are you talking to? There's nothing out there. There's nobody sitting in a chair with a long beard, or there's no angels, there's no guides. It's just random. What you're doing, you're just dealing with a randomness in the universe, or a sense of just spontaneous energy. And it has nothing to do with what you're saying. No one's listening to you. So, you know, it's a matter, we get now to a matter of belief. But again, there are psychics who will say, well, energy didn't work. And there are scientists who will say, I can't explain what just happened. So we're left in a world of some mystery there, which we'll never be able to solve on Earth.
Yeah.
But
well,
nonetheless, we do what we can.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, Donna believes in psychic energy, or she wouldn't call these psychic shows, and she tries to get help for her life and so on and so forth. So I really hope she calls us to tell us about this, because, you know, we specifically put out energy for her, and then she wins the next week.
Well,
I would say we did a reading
with her on the 5th.
Yes, we did.
And I've got a note here that says gambling, yes. So
gambling, yes. She does gamble.
Okay, so here's what I think. Can I just give my opinion?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I think, and I'm an outsider, okay? So what I think was is that she needed help, and so she called your show. And then she disclosed on your show that she likes to gamble, and previously she's been lucky gambling. And
yes.
So what happened was is the Bakers contacted the spiritual realm using their psychic abilities, and then it was kind of like, have my people talk to your people. And so then she was given the idea to go to the casino on that very day, directed to the very machine to put the $2 in. So she said she put $2 in, and she won the jackpot. And that's how it worked, like, in layman's terms. That's how I thought it played out. That's why I was like, oh, my God, I got to call them and tell them. But that's just the way I thought. Like, she was trying to tell you how she could collect the windfall. And so the universe gave it to her in a way she would go and would be willing to go that route to collect it, but it was sent from the divine by the Bakers.
Well, that kind of makes sense. In my earlier years, when I would connect to the outside forces, I usually connected to the slot machine. Now, as I got older, I went to the slot machine.
Huh? Neil.
What?
Not funny.
Well, it's true. I can't help it. I was dealing with a lot of women of the nights and
prostitutes. Oh, okay. Really?
Back in those days. And,
oh, my God.
They needed help. So I always resorted to the slut machine. But now, as I got older, you know, I was dealing more with people who had graduated to a higher element of monetary value. And, yeah, there is a big slot machine in the sky that...
Oh, right. Right.
That is available when you're connecting to it.
And, you know, you're with a former slut.
And yeah, so.
I didn't know Neil was a womanizer. I'll put that in my notes.
He's not a womanizer. He's just like, what? Tata. Shame on you.
No, it wasn't a womanizer. I was helping these people. I wasn't sleeping with them.
That's what Jennifer says.
Oh, well, that all depends. I mean, calicos, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maine coons.
And you're absolutely
you
right,
you cannot
Jennifer.
Forget.
Maine coons.
Maine coons, rag dolls.
Feral.
Well, I mean, we appreciate you calling in, Dion, and acknowledging that it was indeed the energy work in part that helped her, you know, achieve her desires to win money.
I mean, that's just my opinion, but I definitely wanted to let you know that I witnessed it firsthand with Neil and Kristen Baker helping me pulling rabbits out of hats, okay? And I wanted to let you know what?
They said tricks is for kids.
Yeah.
They pull rabbit
for adults,
out of hats.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was me witnessing somebody else getting blessed on your show, and I wanted you to know, just in case she doesn't call in, She probably will call in, maybe not right away, but wanted to let you know that that you're truly amazing, because that was super quick. That was within, that didn't even take a week.
Days. Yeah, it was within days. You know, I do recall saying you're not, I recall saying, like, you, she's, you know, Donna's destined to live the kind of life she's going to live with these lucky breaks. But, you know, she's on disability. And unless I said, I believe I said on the show, unless you find a man, you're not going to get some great windfall. But what I meant by great windfall was like, you know, $1 million home, a, you know, her life completely taken care of monetarily, unless someone comes in to do it for her. You know, that's so when I said that, I was not discounting the possibility of her being lucky at a casino. So,
well, thank you for helping her. I just wanted to say that too, because I've been listening to Blog Talk Radio for years, and I know sometimes she struggles with finances.
Yeah, I know,
and
she does.
I think that, you know, that was really good of you to help her. And I'm really happy for her that she was blessed by the universe. And I hope that she's not worried for a long time about money now. And, you know, just I think that you both are very amazing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you,
Dion.
You know, actually in her birthday, she has, we explained this to her, she has a broken up 8
yeah.
in her 422. And then her first and
last
numbers
are
44. So that 8 is the route to where she can make money. It's broken up, and she's a 22 more or less in her karmic number. So
no, she's a 27.
Oh, 27. But I mean 22 in her day.
22 in her day.
So it causes some confusion. So the question is, can a psychic override karma? And in some cases, yes, if you can find in the combination that there's a way to do it. So it's like someone who's very, very good at mechanical or very ingenious, and they find a different way to fix something that is not in the book. But they're ingenious because they're still using the parts that are available to them. So, you know, it all just goes back to, I guess it would be in this case, creative psychic reading, because it's not a psychic reading as prediction. It's incorporated by a sense of creation, being
right.
creative. And that's the wonderful thing about being a psychic. Not to sound, I sound like Tigger. It's a wonderful thing about being a psychic. But so you can be creative sometimes when you find a pathway that can lead you to the desired destination.
Okay. Enough about all that. We'll see. If you are on a show, Dion, and you happen to call in and you're like talking, I don't know if you call other shows, and she happens to be on, you may want to say, hey, why don't you call the Bakers and tell them that you won? Kind of surprised she hasn't called, but maybe she's busy, I don't know, spending her $13,000 this morning.
I feel like she'll call you. I feel like she'll call you and tell you.
I hope so.
She said that she had a lot of bills that she had to pay off. And I remember one time when I had like $10,000 in credit card debt and I got a windfall. It took me a couple of days to like run around and pay them off and then get the payoff letters and stuff. But I
yeah.
feel like she will call you and let you know. You know, so.
Yeah, no, I never heard Jesus say, do I hear a thank you? You know?
No, yeah. No, that's right. I'm not saying thanks. I'm not saying even thanks. I'm just saying, please let us know what happened. So we can follow the story. Because like if we didn't have you two, Jennifer and Dion, to tell us, we would be in the dark. And still working on it, you know, for her. I mean, we'll still work on her energy, you know, so she continues to, you know, be successful in her gambling pursuits, whatever, or finding a man, whatever it is that she wants. So we'll continue to work on her energy, but I'm not even necessarily saying, oh, well, I want to thank you. I just want to know from the, from, let us know what happens. I mean, it's just, you know, something we would like
to
know, and we do know now, but, huh?
You're supposed to call back and give confirmation.
Yeah, and you do that. I mean, it's helpful. It's helpful, especially when you've got your wheels turning trying to help somebody. So that's what I'm saying. So Jesus may never ask for a thank you, but we're just asking for, a status update. I don't
acknowledgement, confirmation.
I mean, not even to credit us necessarily, just to say, hey, I ended up winning this money. I'm letting you two know. We're not asking for our feet to be kissed. So I don't want to make that impression on the show. That's not what we're about. We want you to kiss our ring, not our feet.
But, I mean, you would take a donation, wouldn't you?
I think, you know... We'll always take a donation, but you know what? Donna has so many financial problems. She's not in a position to donate. I don't expect a donation from Donna. I don't expect a donation from anybody, but there are people that are in better financial positions that, you know, you would think would donate to the show and don't. Donna is not in a great financial position, so just because she won $13,000, we don't say, well, we want to get a piece of that. That's not where our minds are at all. So, if she chooses to donate,
I don't even know how we got on that subject, but I was just letting you know the excellent work that you do for people who call on Blog Talk Radio, because like I've been on Blog Talk Radio for years, and whenever I get a little extra here and there or whatever, like when I can, I always tip the dealer just because you're doing this for free. You're doing this for us. You're doing this for the collective. And I know you don't expect anything in return, but like if people call people's shows constantly, I mean, it's a good energy exchange to give something back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
When I was on
Blog, money. It could be something else.
I met Neil on Blog Talk Radio, right? And I did not donate to shows, but I did readings I did lots of readings. So I mean, it's the same thing. You're you know, either donating or you do readings with the people that are on the shows, and so that's a way of giving back.
Yeah, and I'm proud to say that whenever we have a conversation, Chris and I always charge her.
Yeah.
That can owe me $10.
Okay. Hey, you still owe me for your flight
from Oakland.
You know, Rodney
Dangerfield, I don't know if you know Rodney Dangerfield, but all he wanted was a little respect. Just a little bit. He'd kick his fingers and go, just a little respect. Did you know who Rodney Dangerfield was?
Yes.
Yeah. That was his famous line. So, you know, as long as people respect us and don't heckle us and make fun of us or, you know, try to trick us by being honest and then saying, you know, everything I'm telling you is bullshit and you guys are phony. I mean, I don't have time for that. But people tend to still
do. Ain't nobody have time for that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dion, good luck on
Thank
Monday.
You.
And keep
Thank
in
you.
Touch,
yeah.
Okay? You know, if you need to reach out, okay, because we're here for you.
And don't forget, you know, Donna and Dion have the same letters, a lot of the same letters.
Yeah, they sure do.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that.
I didn't either. So, okay.
Well, yeah, I'm happy for her. Very,
Me
very
too.
Happy for her. And, yes, I will keep in touch, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
But I've been, you know, it's been really difficult with this O.J. Simpson death. Actually, you know, it has been difficult with the O.J. Simpson death because I find it so disgusting, the topic, and repelling that I cannot deal with the coverage. There's been so much on the news and in the papers and in the social media. I don't want to think about it at all. You know, bringing up the whole, what?
I got to say a little story.
Oh.
When I was called to do a reading at this woman's
I know. I was thinking about this yesterday.
Apartment or something. And so that was one of the days when I'd go and do readings at people's locations.
They don't go anywhere anymore.
And so I went to this woman's home. And as soon as she answered, I did something I never would have done at any other time in my life. I barged through her entry and I walked directly into her bedroom and put my hand against the wall and said, there's going to be a murder here. Totally freaked her out. She, I don't remember the rest of the reading. She might have thrown me out of the house.
I think the murder had already happened.
No.
Oh, no, it hadn't happened. You're right. Okay, I'm sorry.
It hadn't happened yet.
I remember the story wrong.
No,
I apologize.
It had not happened yet.
It had not happened yet.
But I totally freaked her out. I remember now. I totally freaked her out. And then it took me about 15 minutes to get calm again. And then I proceeded to do her reading for her. Well, after that, it was the following day, or 2 days later, 3 days later. It was after the reading. So it had to be 2 days later that she called me and said, I just can't believe what you did. And I said, what? And she said, after you left the following day or whatever it was, a day later, there was a murder with O.J. Simpson. What's her name? Died right across from me. It was on Gretna Green or something like that. And so that's where my experience with O.J. Simpson came in. And then later, I became involved with some of the legal representatives of O.J. Simpson doing readings.
Yeah, we were even at their home together.
Yeah, we were at their home together.
Yeah.
And with some of the outstanding legal representation at the time.
And I was served
water. But we won't mention any names.
I was served water in a glass that had like that horse smell. It was in bacteria.
Well,
who cares? No one's going to listen. Yeah. They're not going to listen to the show.
Well,
I'm surprised.
But, yeah, so there is some reference to O.J. Simpson.
Well, I'll never forget where I was at the time because, you know, now I'm talking about it and I don't want to, but when he was fleeing with what was his name? His best friend.
Oh, yeah.
In the white Bronco. And I was
Coleman?
I don't remember. I was working for a conservation company and I was a canvasser. I was a canvasser and I was the only one who ever made my goal every single night I worked, by the way. I don't know why. I looked young and innocent. So I was knocking on doors and people were glued to their TVs. And you know how when something, you know, an event is occurring, you want to spread the word to everybody. So, you know, me knocking on the door, it's like I'm a welcome visitor because they get to share with me, hey, do you know what's going on? O.J. Simpson's fleeing. I was like, what? You know, do you remember where you were when that happened? I mean, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I think I was doing a reading and it was on TV.
Oh, I can't believe it. TV was on during the reading. But anyway, I mean, it's a sad story. It's a sad story. And yeah, I don't know. I watch a lot of crime shows and it's, I don't know why. You know, I'm affected by what I watch, but I can separate. I don't grieve over the shows that I watch every time I watch a show, but for some reason, this particular case is very disturbing to me. And like, I just didn't want to hear about
it. We don't know. You know, he died at 76 of prostate cancer.
Yeah. And he had, he was born in 47? He was born in 47.
I don't know his birthday.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Effort that was put into his trial, and I mean, his life was a nightmare thereafter. He had civil cases against him.
Yeah.
He was arrested for threatening somebody in Las Vegas. And,
well, no, he was also, he was, I don't think it was threat. Maybe he was arrested for threatening somebody, but he was also arrested for selling goods, the
selling
memorabilia,
goods.
Memorabilia
stole, I mean,
that he wasn't allowed to sell from the cage.
He did all kinds of things. So, you know, and then he did it 76. Was it really worth it?
He was a 37-10-1. I mean, you know, he has good 7-9. He was born 7-9-1947.
Well, 47
is
his problem.
Right, it's his problem,
that's,
and he's compounded.
That we
well, he's 37-10-1.
That can be very, very problematic.
And when did this happen?
But you see, the power in his life would be result from the 7-9. That would be the power.
Right, exactly. And that was in his karma. So this is why I'm trying to figure out really quickly. 1994, it happened June 12th. So, I mean, he was well over his karmic age at this time, by this 1947. He was 47 years old. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
47 years old his year. So see how that works, people? That's nuts. That's nuts. And that's an 11, of course, 10 years beyond his 37. So it's also a part of his karmic change because 10 years beyond the age of 37 is 47.
Yeah.
His life goes in increments of one, but it also goes in increments of 10 from birth to death and then 10 from 37. So it's a little nuts. We have about 20 minutes left. I think we should stop at like 10 till.
Yeah, sure.
But
we'll give it another 5 minutes and see if any callers come in. You know, we tend to think we walk a linear line in life. You know, we're born, we're young, we're young adults, we're middle age, we get older. And it seems to be, in some sense of the word, a linear line that we live from birth to death. But when you die, there's no linear line. The line now goes into soul and spirit, and the line now forms and bends, like Einstein's theory, bends and becomes curved, ultimately circular. So when you die, you get into the circularity of life. You're no longer on a linear stage. You enter the vast realm of eternity. And in that realm of eternity, you're no longer susceptible to natural selection. You're no longer susceptible to deviation of genes and cells and how life emerges from mutations and forms other forms of life. You're now no longer in that realm. There's no birth, there's no death, there's no physicality, there's no growth. You are now in soul spirit. While you're in soul spirit, you're still somewhat alluding to the body because the soul is still connected to the body by way of historical energy, although the soul itself is eternal until it dispenses and basically loses the energy and it all goes into pure spirit.
So Jennifer is asking what, I wonder what OJ's life review is like. And of course, right now he's in the soul spirit energy, but you know,
we don't, you know, whatever he's, everything will be revealed. So whatever he did that he escaped, whatever he did on a guilty level or a corrupt level or a murderous level, whatever he might have done, he cannot escape it in the energy field of the afterlife. And that's where his punishment or his time served will be served. You know, the universe weighs our energies. They take the negative and the positive. Sometimes they send us back. So we live in a world of severe dichotomy. We're really good. You know, he was dichotomy. People worshipped him. They loved him.
A lot of people still
do. And they still do.
Yeah.
And then there are people who think he's just the scum of the earth. So he had this weird contrasting energy, not to mention the fact that he was compounded.
Right.
So his compounded energy was derived, what, from 37, you said?
37, 10, 1.
So that's a 37 of the most powerful energies in the universe, more or less. But
3 and 7, you're meaning. 3 and 7.
But it resorts to a 10-1, which means that it, earthbound, he's all screwed up. I mean, there he may have some merits about him, but when you get to a higher level of judgment, it, that's the ultimate rule. Because that's going to be, you know, that's why they say, you know, do you swear to tell the truth, so help you God, you know, where the soul is now judged. And so the body may go, but the soul is still up for judgment.
You know, what's interesting also is that he died on a 13-4, and he happened to be 76, a 13-4. And, of course, here we're talking today about balance, and he died on a balance number. 4 is in his birth date. Between not only in the year, but I mean, there's kind of a reflection in his karmic number and his year, because the 4-7, and then there's a 3 in between the 4-7. In the 3-7, there's a 4 in between the 3-7. So, you know, balance. Was his life balanced?
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, enough about O.J. Simpson. I don't really want to give him much airtime because, you know, the victims in this, I mean, it was such a tragedy. And, you know, who should be really remembered is Ron Goldman and Nicole Simpson.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's close for the day, and we'll be back next week.
Okay.
And thanks, callers.
Thanks.
For calling us.
Thanks for calling us, ladies. Ciao.
See you then.